Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll be all right just as soon as we can touch Calvary. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. How many blessed folks have we got? Amen. Amen. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? Amen. Terrible, terrible news that we heard today. It's just unfathomable, almost. I guess the day and hour that we're living in, we're getting to the point where nothing really seems to surprise us. When we hear this devastating news, such a tragic, tragic current event that took place today or this morning, I just can't even, it's almost too hard to even believe. And even hearing that the pastor's 14-year-old daughter was one of the victims, and each and every victim is tragic, but it's just hard to believe that that's taking place in the nation that you and I live in. And certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to that family and that little community of about 400 people, I think they said. Can't imagine the grief and sorrow that's being experienced in that place. But we know a God, amen, and that can sustain and help even through times of severe devastation and tragic things that happen in this world. And certainly we will pray with them or for them tonight. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the Psalm of David, Psalm 38. I want to read the first four scriptures, or first four verses of that particular chapter. A Psalm of David, Psalm 38. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy word. The psalmist writes in the 38th Psalm, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Can we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for another opportunity to come into your house to worship. Thank you for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would feed us that heavenly manna. Father, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for your touch, for your anointing. And I pray tonight, God, as I need that anointing, Father, I ask that you anoint these lips of clay. God, this vessel, this oracle, God, is nothing more than just a conduit for you to speak through tonight. Father, I pray for those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who could not be here tonight, and especially those who are lost and undone. Father, I pray for this nation. I pray for our leaders. I pray, God, for the many, many people seemingly are just out there in an endless sea of time, God, unreeling or not really realizing, God, the necessity of coming to you. And I pray, God, that you would stir those hearts. Yes, Lord, I ask you now to just bless in this service, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I don't want to assume tonight, but I would almost be willing to guarantee that probably most of us, if we've been living for the Lord a number of years, are acquainted with burdens. Burdens come in many, many ways. Burdens sometimes are self-inflicted. Many, many times we're praying to God to remove the burden, to help us the burden. He had nothing to do with it. We brought it upon ourselves. And I understand that. And God's understand that, I believe. Some burdens are not our fault. Some burdens are placed on us. Some folks will place burdens on others. And I thought about this afternoon as God was stirring my heart and thinking about the many, many people that we know and the countless burdens that people deal with on a daily basis. And as for the most part, people have become pretty good at carrying those burdens, and some even concealing those burdens and keeping a straight face or a happy face or a countenance that would let almost anyone not realize that they are carrying that burden. And then there's others that just can't hide the fact that they're burdened down, that situations in their life have become overwhelming, And we find David in this particular frame of mind. And David is seeking help. And as most of David's writings, he starts off in one frame of mind and ends up in a very different frame of mind. How many have ever started a prayer like that? I think that's the reason that I can so identify with the psalmist David, because many, many times in his writings, he would write the answer. You know, and when he first started writing, it was like he didn't know what to do or you know, which way to turn, and he was overwhelmed, and his enemies were around him, and what to do. And then by the end of the psalm, he had already realized that his help was in the Lord, and his hope was in the Lord. And many, many times he was able to self-diagnose, whether he realized it or not, his situation, because if he would just place it in the hands of the Lord. But we know that sounds a lot easier than it really is at times, because we, being human beings, so many times we want to fix it ourself, and as often the case, we kind of mess it up even more than it was. But I've listed at least a dozen things here that stuck in my mind when the burden becomes too heavy. And if I had a message topic tonight, it would be that situation, when the burden becomes too heavy. Burdens, and I looked it up, and basically it just says a heavy load that we carry. A heavy load, you know, and we know about physical burdens. We know about situations. We know about on the job burdens. And I remember working for a man one time, and he was talking about he had taken some psychology class or something, because it was dealing with employees. And he said there's basically two types of employees. And he said there's those that you have to issue out forms and tasks to be done, but you issue them out one at a time, because if you put all of those tasks on their desk at one time, they become burdensome to them, and it's overwhelming to them, and they can't seem to grasp the fact that they can get all of that done in a specific time. But he says if you give it to them one at a time, it's amazing how much they'll accomplish, because they can take one task and be able to take that task and complete it. And he says you just keep giving them another task. That's one type of person, he said. The other type of person is that energetic, aggressive person who takes that task, and if you give them a large task of things to do, they take that as a challenge, and they're going to prove to themselves and everybody else that they can take that thing, and they'll work just as hard as they could through lunch or whatever it is to get all of those things done. But he said by the end of the day, they both have pretty much accomplished the same thing. It's all about how you deal with people. And I think maybe sometimes God understands how that certain personalities can handle certain things, and sometimes a certain personality can't handle those burdens. And I'm not saying God places burdens on us. I do know that through many burdens, sometimes we gain strength, we exercise our faith, and we even get stronger in faith, because we've been able to go through, we've been able to fight that battle, we've been able to come out victorious. But there's times that even the burdens that we have, and we've been in church, and we've read the Word of God, and we've prayed through, and we're filled with the baptism of the Spirit, and we know what it is to be set free. We know what it is to walk in victory. We know what it is to put our faith and trust in a never-failing God. But how many know circumstances happen, even to believers? The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, and there's things sometimes that just begin to mount up in our life, and sometimes it's very difficult to handle those things. Maybe one at a time, yeah, but when they pile up, it's very, very difficult. Many times we become overwhelmed. And I believe when reading this, this is the situation that the psalmist David was in. He was overwhelmed. He was at a point of where he didn't know what to do. And in reading that, I've listed a few things. Signs that the weight has become too burdensome. We all have our burdens to bear. We all have our cross to bear. We all have certain situations. Listen, I believe with all of my heart, and I just know me, if everything was always going right in my life, if I never had any issues, if I never had any prayer requests, I might have a tendency not to have my mind totally on God like I ought to. But I found out the more trouble I go through, the more problems I have, the more burdens I bear, the greater my prayer life is, the more in tune to the Holy Spirit
spirit that I am. And maybe there's a reason many times that we face these situations, because it keeps us in tune to the Holy Spirit of God. It keeps us focused on His will to be done and not our will. I don't know if that was the case with David, but he began to list these things, and it was a sign that the weight had become too burdensome. You know, you can carry a weight pretty good distance, but after a period of time, even though that weight weighs the same amount, if you cover a long distance, how many knows that that weight seems to get heavier and heavier? I believe that with all of my heart. And, you know, there's a time you just have to sort of stop and pause. And spiritually speaking, that's the way it is too. You know, if it's a little lightweight burden or something, we can usually go on about our business and not even let anybody know the wiser that we're going through something. But what are the signs that cause us to finally realize that this burden is too heavy? This situation is too severe. It's become not only a burden, but it's a great weight on me, and it's pressing on me, and it's causing me, many, many times it even causes you not only to be spiritually weak, amen, but sometimes actually physically weak because of the burden you bear. And I'm not talking about a heavy load, a physical load that we're carrying. I'm talking about these things that pile up and add up in our life. And this is what David was talking about. And here's some of the signs that I jotted down, that the weight has become too burdensome. And, you know, as I give you these things, I want you to understand that that doesn't mean that we're in a hopeless situation. I never believe that we're in a hopeless situation as long as we know the Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how big the obstacle is, how high the mountain is. I believe God's bigger than any of them. Amen. And if we just learn to put our faith and trust in Him, amen, then maybe we wouldn't have to list all these things. But David, a man after God's own heart, a man who knew the victory, a man who went out and slew the giant with just a little sling and stone with the power of God, and he had seen the power of God and exhibited, and he had felt the power of God. But now he's in frustrated mood. He's in a situation where he realizes that the burden has become so heavy that even it's keeping him up at night, and it's causing his friends, amen, to withdraw from him. And whether that was the case or not, he felt like that they were. And the Lord laid this on my heart to share with us tonight. And nobody's told me anything that maybe you're carrying a burden or anything. But if you're not, you know, then thank God for it. But if you are carrying a burden, then maybe this will be advantageous to us. But the first thing that he lists, the sign that the burden has become too heavy, is thinking that God is punishing us. I can relate to that, because I remember the situation with Kevin, and my first reaction was, God, why are you punishing me? I didn't say that. I just felt that. I felt that somewhere along the line I had missed it with God. I'd not obeyed Him, or I'd not done something that He wanted me to. And I thought this was recompense. I thought this was God bringing something into my life to cause maybe not only the wrath, but to cause me to understand that He's still in charge. And you know, I soon got out of that frame of mind, because I realized that God doesn't operate like that. God doesn't work like that. Circumstances happen. Amen. Circumstances happen that's not God's fault whatsoever. And even though I had failed God, and even though that maybe I had disobeyed God at certain times, that was not God's recompense. That was not God's wrath. I don't want to see God's wrath. Amen. God's wrath is way beyond our ability to even comprehend. That was something, amen, that just happened in the way that I was dealing with it. I was looking for somebody to blame. I was looking for some excuse. And rather than just realizing that my son needed prayer, my son needed help, my son needed my undivided attention, and God got a hold of me in that little prayer room, or that little place out there at the hospital, at the old hospital, the little prayer lounge or whatever it was, and I was in there praying, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and shook me up and got me out of that feel sorry for myself prayer and got my mind on Kevin, and I began to pray with all of my might for him. But David, the first thing that he realized when he slipped into this burdensome situation is that God's wrath is being played out on me. And I think sometimes that happens to us. That's an indicator that maybe the burden that we've been trying to carry, the burden that we've been trying to get victory over, has in fact become too burdensome or too heavy for us. One of the second things that I listed here that David talked about was not being able to find spiritual rest. I don't know about you, but I need spiritual rest just as I do physical rest. Sister Jenya put it so wonderful and admirably this morning when she began to talk about the comfort when she came into the church. It's not the building, but it's the believers. Amen. When you come in to a body of believers, it is comforting. It is restful. Amen. Some of my greatest spiritual rest come when I'm worshiping and praising God with my brothers and sisters, when we're singing songs of praise, when I'm hearing a testimony of the mighty power of God, when I'm hearing somebody read from the Word of God, when I'm hearing somebody stand and talk about or preach the Word of God, then I can find that spiritual rest. I can find it, amen, when we come in and fellowship. And one of the first things that happens when the burden gets too heavy, we kind of withdraw ourselves from that kind of praise and worship. And sometimes we wrestle with it ourselves, and sometimes we don't really even realize that we haven't released it unto God. And David had done this, and he began to realize that he was not getting that spiritual rest. And how many knows if you go for a prolonged period of time without natural rest, what's going to happen? You're going to come weak, amen, and you're going to be bobble-headed, and that's a dangerous situation. We cannot go without finding spiritual rest. Spiritual rest is something that's needful to our body, and however we get it, if we get it by prayer and by fasting or by searching the scriptures or by playing a tape as we travel down the road or a disc or whatever the case may be, whatever it is, we need to find the ability to strengthen that spiritual and get that spiritual rest, because if you go for a long period of time without that spiritual rest, amen, you'll suffer the consequences. The third thing is probably one of the most greatest battles that we face when we can't seem to find victory over the burden, and that this overwhelming sense of guilt. It is amazing that we are not able to forgive what God has already forgiven. That's one of the biggest obstacles, I think, that I have had people come to me in my time of pastoring, is people begin to come in and drag up. Let me put it this way. Every Thursday morning, the trash truck comes and picks up our trash for the whole week. And I take that trash out and I take it to the end of the driveway and he picks it up, and you know, I was thinking so many times, the analogy is that before that he picks that trash up, if all of a sudden I run back out there and grab that trash can and bring it back and begin to go through that whole weeks of trash, and when I've already paid him to lift that trash and to take care of that trash, and I'm thinking about that. You know, when you come to the Lord and when you've asked him to forgive you and you've asked the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to your sins, why would anybody want to run back to the garbage can and drag up the sins of the past and drag up those things that we used to do that's already under the blood, that's already been forgiven? And when you do that, you have this overwhelming sense of guilt, and it's very, very difficult, amen, to get victory in your life when you can't even forgive yourself for something the Lord has already forgiven us for. Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? But the psalmist David, a man after God's own heart, had this overwhelming sense of guilt. He could not find it within himself to forgive himself for what he had done. His sin, his iniquity was ever before him. The fourth thing that I found, that he was seeking, felt like he was seeking. He said that his iniquities had gone over his head. If you look in the spirit, in the Hebrew definition, it basically that the water had flowed over his head. He was drowning in sorrow. He was drowning in guilt. He was drowning in the fact that he had missed it with God, that he had sinned against God, and that his iniquities were overwhelming. And he felt like he was sinking in despair. And if you've ever felt like that, you know, you can't just shake yourself out of it. You know, a good-hearted saint of God will come to you, well, you just need to shake it off. You just need to get out of that, or get out of that frame of mind. How many knows that's easier said than done? Sometimes you can't shake it off. Sometimes we'd like to shake it off. We'd like to just say, you know what? That's not going to bother me. It's just going to be like water on a duck's back. It's going to roll off. But we're human. And being human, sometimes we wrestle with these things. And David was almost sinking in despair. And then another thing, it goes on. And And this is not verbatim, but what he said, but in basically it's what he was feeling. He said he was bowed down with sadness. Have you ever tried to smile when you were sad? You ever tried to smile when things were topsy-turvy in your life? You ever tried to, what is the phrase, paint on a smile? That's artificial. I believe smile is not only a facial expression. I believe a smile comes from the heart. I mean, you can tell happy folks. You can tell folks that lighthearted and happy. They just, not even with a smile. They're just kind of going with a glow on their face. And that's the way that I want to be. I want to be even in the face of adversity. Even when problems arise in my life. Even when I'm down in the valley, I still want to be able to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I find my strength in glorying and praising and lifting up the name of the Lord. And I never want to get to a point where I'm so sad and so forlorn that I come through and try to go through the motions of serving God and praising God. I want victory, and I can get victory, and we can get victory, amen, if we understand these characteristics and these signs of when the burden becomes too heavy. Amen. The Bible tells us to cast our burden on the Lord. Bring me every load. You know, come unto me all ye that labor. There's all kinds of scriptures with antidotes that tells us how to get victory over these things. But many times we carry them and we get heavier and heavier. Not only did he feel like he was bowed down with sadness, but he started feeling broken and helpless. I believe every person has to have some type, amen, of activity. I believe we have to have something to do. Amen. You need to be encouraged. You need an opportunity to do something. Everybody needs to feel that they're vital, that they're working. And in the church especially, I mean, the church is a body. And imagine a body where the legs are not working or the arms are not working or one of the ears is not doing it hard. It upsets the whole body. And when we come into the presence of God, when we come into the holiest of holies, when we come into that overwhelming presence of the Holy Ghost, we need to all begin to supply every joint supply. I mean, doing what God has called us to do, the whole body working together, glorifying and praising God, not feeling broken and helpless, not feeling like I don't have anything to contribute or I don't have anything to offer. Every single one of us, I believe, has something to offer for the Lord. And find that and get in it and do it with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Amen. And don't let that burden break you down and begin to come feel like you're broken and helpless. And the next thing he listed was his strength began to fail. And I kind of understand that with a spiritual sense. I know there's times that in my life I've not felt as spiritually strong as other times. And that's not God's fault, by the way. That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit doesn't get weaker. Amen. That power that comes within us is still just as real, still just as powerful as it ever was. But so many times our faith dwindles. So many times our ability to rely on God is not what it once was. And that's when we become in a weak stage, and that's when we become that we feel like our strength is waning away from us, and that's when we need to find a place and say, Lord, touch me again, strengthen me again, just like Samson was. Samson was an ordinary man without the power of God. Amen. We're nothing without the power of God, but with the power of God, the Scripture tells us we are more than conquerors. Amen. We can conquer the battles. We can conquer these situations. Don't let that feeling come over us like that begins to wane our strength away. And this, the eighth one that I listed is, it really caught my attention because I'd never thought of it in that way. But David described it here. He said, the light of mine eyes is gone. The light of mine eyes is gone. You know, we've heard of the twinkle in the eye. We've heard that the eye is the window of the soul. And when you have that ability to look into the eyes of a person and you don't see that joy, You don't see that victory. You don't see that spiritual strength, and you don't see that happiness, and you don't see that excitement of what the Lord is doing. And I never want to get to that place. See, man, I want to always be on fire for God. I always want to let the light that is within me shine. Not my light, but the light that is within me, the light of the Spirit of the Lord. Not to hide it under a bushel, as the Bible says, but to let that light shine brightly. But when the burden becomes too heavy, when it begins to affect us, not only spiritually, but physically, and our strength begins to subside, and the light of his eye was gone, he didn't have that spark, that energy. Amen. God, always, I want a zeal to work for you. Amen. I never want to say that I put more effort into what I desire than I put into the effort of serving and glorifying and praising God. Amen. I want that to be first and foremost. I want to give him the very best. Even in the Old Testament, they required the very best, the first fruit, the best sacrifice, the one without spot, the one without blemish. So many times, I think that we just give God leftovers. Leftover of our time, leftover of our energy. Whatever time we haven't spent on ourselves, we'll give a little bit to God. I think it ought to be the other way around. I ought to think we ought to give him our first fruits. We ought to praise him more. We ought to do it with zeal and strength and energy and fervor and all of this, that because God gave his best for us. But the light of his eye was gone. I mentioned this other one a while ago casually. He said it's distance himself from friends and families. And actually, he laid the blame on them. He said, they have withdrawn themselves. And that may be the case, but many, many times, I think that's just in our mindset. I think we kind of imagine that when we're going through these situations and the burdens become too heavy, that people kind of withdraw themselves. And it may, in fact, be the other way around. Maybe we haven't withdrawn ourselves from our friends and our family and our closest people that are to us, because we don't want them to know that we're carrying this burden. We don't want them to know that we're suffering or there's something in our life that we can't seem to get a handle on. And it's because that we're believers. It's because that we remain strong in Christ. We don't want to be seen as somebody who can't tear or carry this burden. But I know that it happens to each and every one of us. If it happened to David, it can happen to us. Feeling alone and forsaken. Well, the devil loves to get you in that situation. Feeling like nobody cares. Feeling like you just fighting this battle all by yourself. You're forsaken. Your friends are forsaken. Your church is forsaken. Your pastor's forsaken you. And so many times, if we're not careful, we'll even think God has forsaken us. And we know that's not true, because his promise says, I will not forsake you. Amen. So that's just a lie from hell. That's a lie that the devil has used over and over and over again. And he used it on David, a man after God's own heart, who had seen victory, who knew what it was, amen, to live in victory, is now feeling down and out, feeling alone and forsaken. Why? Because the burden has become too heavy. He thought that he could carry it. He thought that he could hide it. He thought that he could get victory over it. Then he also said, sorrow is continually before me. How terrible a situation it would be to live in constant sorrow. We go through sorrowful times, each and every one of us. Unfortunately, in this life, we're going to have sorrow, we're going to have grief, but we're not supposed to be sustained in that frame of mind or that sorrow. Amen. Because we're supposed to let our heart joy in the Lord. And the Lord is the one that will see us through these situations, through these problems, and lift that heavy burden. But sorrow is continually before me. And then finally, basically what he said in verse number 17, for I am ready to halt. Basically, I'm ready to give up. The last sign that I wrote, the last characteristic of these burdens becoming too heavy, is the one that I just want to give up. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I can't seem to go on anymore. Nobody cares. It's to come to a point where it's getting so heavy I can't take another step. You know, I just can't walk on. This burden is so heavy. And then David just does something that should be spontaneous. He does something that he should have done at the very start. Then David cries out to God. Isn't it amazing that That's one of the last things that we seemingly do. It's almost like in our medicine cabinet, we got the right pill to help us, and that's the last thing we go to. Amen. We have been taught, we know from the Word of God, we know from the Spirit that is within us. Amen. When we have a burden that's too heavy, we take it to the Lord. When we have an affliction that's getting us down, we call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and they'll be delivered. We know when we seemingly can't take another step, that we got brothers and sisters that'll lift us up. It's just the devil telling you that they don't care. Amen. A true brother and sister does care for you. And a true brother and sister will lift their hands down and lift you back up. Amen. And sustain you. Every one of us are not above helping the brothers and sisters of the church unite and rally around us and lift us up. Listen, every time I come into the house of God, I feel your prayers and thank God for your prayers. Thank God for your love and thank God for your care for each and every one. I see you when you gather around people that come to the altar for prayer because you want them to be lifted up. It's just a lie from the devil that tells you that the brothers and sisters don't care. David, you're not alone. David, you have the answer. God is the answer. And he finally realized and he cried out to God. In verse number 21 and 22, finally, at the very onset, at the very ending of that psalm, he says, "Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." Hallelujah. Doesn't it sound like a different author at the very end? Why? Because he had a realization that God is still the answer. No matter how heavy the burden, no matter how problematic the situation may be, no matter how much of an impossibility it may look or seem in our life, there is an answer, and God is that answer. And if we'll take that burden to him, why do we try to carry it so far? Why do we try to do it within ourselves? Why do we try to hide these things when we should just bring them to the Lord? Any sin, any iniquity, anything that we've done, it doesn't have to be a sin. It doesn't have to be an iniquity. It can be a problem. It can be a health issue. It can be a stumbling block. Anything, amen, that impedes us from getting the victory that we need to glorify and praise God. I believe that we need all the spiritual strength that we can. I believe that we need that to glorify and praise God and live in this present day of all the violence and all the things that are going and all the lies that are being spread. Thank God for the truth. Amen. I really believe that. Thank God for the truth, because it's hard to find the truth in the world today. But how many knows that Jesus Christ is the truth? Amen. And that truth will never, ever let us down. It will set us free. So what is that burden? Is it, oh, it'll be all right, I can make it? Or has it got to a point where some of these characteristics, some of these signs have even been exhibited in your life or in our life? Do we feel like we're forsaken? Do we feel like that we've lost our way? Do we feel like we're drowning in our sorrow? Do we feel like we're not getting the sleep that we need at night and the spiritual and this natural rest because we're worrying about the problem? We're worrying about how heavy the burden is. That's the reason I wanted to sing that song tonight. You know, so friend, don't worry about this heavy load that I'm carrying, because I know where I'm carrying it to. And then I'm carrying it to Calvary. And I don't intend to pick it back up when I leave. Amen. That's what I believe when we come to this altar. When we bring that burden to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there. Don't pick it up and take it back with you, because it don't belong to you. Bring it to the Lord. Amen. Get victory. Go on about your business. Amen. Work for the Lord. Live for the Lord. Let the light get back in your eye. Amen. The joy of the salvation of the Lord. Amen. You remember how it was when the Spirit of God came into your life. You remember you felt like you were trouble free, like you were riding on cloud nine. You can have that feeling again, even in the midst of sorrow and pain and agony and all these other things that accompany this body. We can still have victory. And my victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you really love him? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand? Would you bow your heads? If we could get some music tonight and play just something. Maybe take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Anything. Amen. If you have a burden tonight, and don't take it with you. Just don't. Just don't. Come and lay it at the altar. Amen. And get victory. And get that focus back. Get that gleam and that light in your eye. Get that joy back into your life. Glory to God. Even in the midst of all of this turmoil, we can still have joy. The only joy that I've been able to find is in the Lord. That's the only joy that I can find. I can't find joy anywhere else. Can we play that? Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. You might want to sing it with us, congregation. And this altar is open. If you want to bring that burden and leave it at the altar tonight, then we encourage you to do so. Let's go.